As I hear reports back from people who have engaged in marches in recent days, the word on the street is that people are really reinvigorated to come back together as communities who stand for justice. People are feeling the urgency that the prophet Micah is holding out to us today, that what is good and what the Lord requires of us is to do justice. Now, when you get your newsletter for February from Hope Church, I encourage you to read the "And Finally" article that Gordon wrote for this month. In it, he talked a little bit more about that piece he did last week with the children in the Word with the Children about the apples, as I mentioned it this morning. But in case you weren't here last week or haven't yet read that article, I'll just remind you of what happened. Gordon had a bag of apples in his reconciliation bag. And he had two apples. He gave one to me. He had one for himself. And he stole my apple. Still feeling bitter about it. No. And then he asked the kids. He said, "Would it be enough if I just looked over at Jill and said, 'I'm sorry, Jill,' and then kept the apple?" And they knew immediately, of course, that it wouldn't be enough. That reconciliation is about more than saying you're sorry. It's about making amends, repairing the harm. He has to both say, "I'm sorry, Jill," and give me the apple back. And he did a couple more illustrations like that. And then he finally said, "You know, reconciliation also asks the question of why I'm the one who has all the apples." Reconciliation asks those kinds of questions. They are the questions of justice, the questions that look at the structures that make the world a place where someone can have all the apples while other people don't have enough. It's a lot of energy bubbling up in many different places. I think you could march every weekend right now, some more than once. There's a new protest happening this afternoon that I just heard about over in Detroit at the airport. Someone said coming into worship, so my question is, how many times do I need to protest in any given weekend? Because people are really asking the question of how is it that we can begin to reconcile what feels so fractured in our communities, how we can bring people together and stand with those who are most vulnerable. I can tell you, I can point to the urgency of all this work by looking at my own calendar. There are so many things going on right now. Community conversations, new coalitions forming, clergy groups gathering. And Gordon and I counted up 5 or 6 different groups we are engaged with in this kind of work right now. There is energy to do justice. And it's revealing, I think, how very wide the realm of reconciliation truly is. It takes us into some very wide terrain. And I'm convinced that along with this recognition of the very wide realm that reconciliation pulls us into, it needs to be combined with a second recognition, a recognition that I think is embedded in these texts from Micah and the gospel today. And to get us into the second recognition, I want to tell you about something that happened last week at early worship. We were singing a hymn that we sang a couple weeks ago at 11 o'clock. I want you to turn with me to it. It's in the purple hymnal. It's 769. We were singing this hymn, "For Everyone Born." And you may remember it from a few weeks ago. The second verse is a great example of how this song kind of lifts up the very wide welcome of God's realm. "For woman and man, a place at the table, revising the roles, deciding the share, with wisdom and grace, dividing the power, for woman and man, a system that's fair." And we kept singing, "For young and for old, a place to belong." And we got to the end of verse 3, and the leader could see out in the hallway and could see the clock on the wall that we were getting close to the end of time, and those adult ed people were starting to gather and wanting to come in and set up, and this happens almost every week to us at early worship, something that will not happen in the new chapel, which we're so happy about. And so the leader did, in that moment, what I had done the very week before when I was leader. "Let's skip to verse 5. And so we did, and we finished the hymn. And then something happened that only happens at early worship because we're much more informal. Someone raised their hand and said, "Hey, I want us to go back and sing that verse we skipped." And so we did. And I'd like you to hear that verse. for just and unjust, a place at the table. Abuser, abused, with need to forgive. In anger, in hurt, a mindset of mercy, for just and unjust, a new way to live. That verse, 4, I think captures the deep and soulful work of reconciliation. How to cultivate a mindset of mercy. And I'm convinced that as the energy for the wide terrain of social justice keeps pulling us into action, and I hope that you're feeling pulled in the ways that I'm feeling pulled, that we need to be attentive, as attentive, maybe even more attentive, to this deep, soulful work of reconciliation at the same time. Now, I need to say something about that hymn. I feel it every time we sing it. Because that verse 4, that line, abused, abuser, the need to forgive, boy, I'm always aware of the trigger that could be for someone in the room. If you are being abused, or if you have been abused, I would love to talk to you about what that verse and that line, a need to forgive, does and does not mean. I would love to walk with you. I'd be honored to walk with you as you find a new way to live, which means a way to live where you can be safe. And I would be equally honored to walk with someone who recognizes in themselves that they have become someone who is abusive, and to walk with you as you find a new way to live, getting the help you need to stop that behavior. Now, I say that not just because I care about the way that verse could trigger someone. It actually points to the very complicated work that is involved in having a mindset of mercy as you also seek to do justice. And yet, that is the work that God is calling us to in the book of Micah today. It's not just do justice, it is also those two additional pieces that come after that piece of the mission statement. And I want to dwell now with those two additional pieces because they are the ones that I think push us into that deep work of reconciliation, a work we cannot neglect. And the first of these is rendered in the text as love, kindness. Now, this word in Hebrew, hesed, which I have to cough to be able to say to get that guttural out. That word in Hebrew is a word that we translate here as kindness. That is a word that usually refers to the character of God and is spoken of 243 times in the scriptures. It's a big word. And I listened this weekend to a rabbi talk about how to understand that word, and he said you really have to take a big cluster of words and hold them all together if you want to understand what is meant by this word. And they are words like mercy, compassion, grace, kindness, love, and then some compound words like steadfast love or unfailing love. Or loving kindness. So I want to talk about a rub that I have been feeling as I watch the energy building to do justice. And I'm going to describe the rub as I've experienced it inside myself. And I leave it to you to decide if you feel like this goes on for you or if you think it's descriptive of things going on in society. I honestly don't mean this as a finger-pointing moment, but it's an invitation for you to join with me in some reflection, some self-reflection, that I've been trying to do in recent weeks. Because when my energy for doing justice starts to run high, and it has been of late, it is right now, I have noticed that when I am with others who are in that same mode, it is really easy for an edge of arrogance to creep into my spirit. And even more, I have noticed that there is an energy of rivalry that begins to take hold, in which I can very quickly, by learning very teeny bits of information about people, decide who is for and who is against the justice that matters to me. And I want to be really careful about that place, when I am seeing myself as the prophet, standing on high, surveying all the injustice that others are perpetrating. Because when I read through Micah and the Beatitudes, it becomes clear to me that we can only understand what God means by justice and how God would have us do that work if we are first very clear about how utterly dependent we are on God's loving kindness for us. That when I can be real honest looking at my life to notice the many, many places where I fail and where I need God's correction and God's guidance, how I need people to call me out, that is when I am pushed toward these other two pieces, toward being able to walk more humbly with God, where my spirit becomes open to what it is that God is looking to teach and correct in me and helping me to see my own vulnerability and need. And here's what I notice. When I can get more connected to my own vulnerability and need, I then become very alert to other people's vulnerabilities and needs, and it pushes me into the work of justice. The logic of this verse is very circular, not linear. And there is a good reason why Micah put do justice first. And it's because the people of his day, like us, were very quick to kind of think that what is meant by walk humbly with God is to do some certain personal spiritual practices. For Micah's day, it was going into the temple and offering up their sacrifices. For us, it might be coming to worship, reading the Bible, giving money to charity, where we can sort of say, yep, did that, and now I can live my life. And what this passage is saying to us, what God, I think, is saying to us through Micah is no, it's not that simple. Loving kindness, walking humbly, brings us into this deep work that God needs to do in us, transform how we see the world, how we feel, what we notice, so that we begin to see how some people have all the apples and others not enough. And I would say to us who really get this call to do justice, who really understand deeply the reality that some have all and others don't have enough, that we really need to tend this piece of loving kindness and walking humbly. This season of reconciliation, it's a demanding one. I feel it every single year because the terrain it pulls us into is both wide and deep. But at the same time, my invitation to us today is not to get lost in that feeling of overwhelm or overwork, but instead to shift our gaze toward God's chesed for us and to remember that God's unfailing, never-ending, steadfast love is what will sustain us, what will forgive us, and what will fuel us for this day and every day to come. So thanks be to God for this unfailing love. Amen.